Hey there, and welcome to the No Code SaaS podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about building software without having to be a programmer. I'm James, and we've got Kieran here.
Hello, everyone.
So, it's great to be back. We've had a little bit of a gap since our last episode, so we're kind of excited to get into all of our updates and everything that's been happening. Kieran, do you want to kick off with what have you been up to and what have you been working on?
I think last time was quite a few weeks ago. Last time I was talking about this boilerplate that I've been building called Bullet Launch. So just as a quick recap, the idea is that basically I built loads of different SaaS products in Bubble, and a lot of the work you put in when you're building is just repeated stuff. It's like the same features, building out dashboards and UIs and trying to make them responsive and work in mobiles and tablets. And it all takes so long. Like, you don't realize actually how much time you spend doing this stuff. Like the other day I had a bug in the boilerplate, a tiny little thing to do with like getting the logo images to display correctly. And it took me an entire day of messing around to figure this out, like a day of time. That's just crazy. So I thought, okay, I'm going to just do it once, do it properly, like use all the kind of techniques and skills I've learned over all the other builds and then just use this every time I want to build a new SaaS product or even a client project. If I have a client who comes to me and they want, a piece of software, I will hopefully be able to convince them that to like use my kind of UI designs, and obviously you can customize the fonts and the colors and everything, I feel like it kind of looks pretty professional and modern and is probably better than what they'd get from most designers. So I'm just going to have this as a kind of asset that I can leverage for every project. And then the reason I was building it is because I want to sell it, because I've been making all these Bubble courses for ages, and I do notice that people tend to buy them and they don't complete, like majority do not complete the course. And I really want them to complete it. I'm really excited about people learning Bubble and being able to build stuff. And it makes me sad when they buy the course and they either don't even start it or they just don't complete it. They get like halfway through and give up. So I was like, how can I make building products in Bubble easier? And this boilerplate is going to make it easier for sure, because you know, one of the big things is like doing good design in Bubble is really difficult. It's really difficult for me, certainly very difficult for beginners, and that kind of makes people feel unmotivated when they've spent ages learning and building an app and it looks terrible. So this is hopefully gonna like be a way for them to learn at the same time as actually having a product that they can ship really quickly, because they can like look at how it's been built. So I've spent ages and ages doing like videos on how this bit works, how to like clone a UI and use it, like update it for your own data type, how to design your database, how to change the menus and all this stuff. So I think just by using the template and watching my kind of tutorials, people will actually be able to understand the best way to do things in Bubble without necessarily just going through a long course where they're learning all the theory. So that's kind of the plan anyway. And the news is I finished it last week and I finally started marketing it, you know, the difficult part. I had a couple of people who are on the wait list who had been like messaging me saying, when's it out? So I was like, okay, do you guys want to like have the first go at it? So I gave them early access and they were using it over the weekend, and I put them in a Slack group and they're like finding bugs for me. And I was like, this is amazing. So I was fixing the bugs and all this stuff. And then I sent out the email to the rest of the wait list, which was like, it was like 125 people. I sent it yesterday and I like hardly got any sales, and I was like, oh my God, have I just wasted like all this time building this thing that no one actually wants? And I'm sure people do want it, but I think the pricing decision was really difficult, because I spoke to this other guy who's been selling templates, bubble templates, for ages, and he was saying, like, when he had a template that was like $49, he would just get loads of people buying it who didn't know anything about bubble, and they kind of assumed that they would just be able to use it, and then when they couldn't, they would just complain and leave a bad review. And he found that he was like ended up to like doing like loads of customer service for them for free, just to try and like teach them bubble so they could use it, to avoid getting these bad reviews. And so he said, don't price it too cheap. So I thought, okay, I want to make it clear it's for like advanced users, and that so much work has gone into it, and it genuinely, like, I think it will save me 100 hours of work with every project I use it on. Like, not even kidding, I estimate it would save that much work. Like, it may sound ridiculous to say that, but I really think it would, because it's taken me at least that to build it. So I didn't want to like price it too cheap, so I priced it at $249, which is approaching the kind of highest price in the template store. But yeah, I think that's kind of put a lot of people off, so definitely something I've got to look at and think about in the near future. But yeah, I'm hoping I haven't wasted this last 2 months. I don't think I have, because I think I can still use it. Just to use it for myself I'll get the value back eventually. But yeah, marketing, sales is always the difficult part of anything like that, isn't it?
100%. And you know, I think anyone who's kind of built apps professionally on Bubble can definitely empathize with that. I mean, all the kind of freelance projects that I've worked on, just doing the basic stuff like getting all of the edge cases in Stripe to work, it takes hours, and it's extremely fiddly. So I think you know, if you can start off from a point where you're actually going straight into building the features and not all of the, you know, the nuts and bolts of the basics of an app, it's definitely worth it. And I think I could easily imagine that being 100 hours of work, you know, just covering all those bits, and that's before you've even really gotten to doing the feature development. So I think there's definitely a market for it, and I think it'll be just, you know, framing it in that way, that it's not just a, you know, a template that with no logic in it. It comes with a lot of kind of opinionated logic about best practice baked in, because, you know, learning that and implementing it, you know, is more than 100 hours. I think that'll be a key part, is just kind of communicating that. But I'm excited to try it out on my next project, because I'm definitely one of the people who's felt that pain before with when you're spinning up a new app, just getting to, you know, getting all those edge cases done. Because I think, you know, in no code you can get stuff done quickly, but when you actually start looking at all the edge cases of all the different things that can happen and all the bits and pieces that you need to do, it adds up, like any kind of development. So yeah, I think that sounds like a really useful thing.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Like, obviously we've been talking about using UI kits for ages, because they do speed up your development. But even so, like, pasting in the UI, this saves a ton of time, but then you having to put in all the functionality for all of the menus and the navigation, and all the just little things that you don't even think of, it does take so much time. And so this, I really think, like I don't know if you've ever used AirDev's Canvas, but I've used it a few times, and it's like so impressive the way it works. And this is essentially a slimmed down version of Canvas, because Canvas is like, it's designed for, it's kind of weird, because it's designed for people who know how to develop in Bubble, because it's quite complex to use, but they also have all these like dashboards and stuff which are designed for people who don't know how to do anything in Bubble. So you can make changes to emails and everything from this dashboard, or to like site settings and colors, but because they've done it that way, it kind of has a lot of like on page load, run 50 workflows and stuff like that on every page, because it is trying to take in like dynamic data that the, you know, maybe a marketing person has made a change to the site and is trying to use that. So I kind of like took the best parts of what I've seen in Canvas and the way it works and the little clever things, but I haven't built in all of these dashboards where, you know, just anyone could do it. Like, if you want to edit the settings of the site, it's in an option set. It's not like a front end nice UI that you can use, but because it's in an option set, it means that you're not going to have loads of page load things looking like searching your database every time you load a page to decide what color the site is going to be. But overall, like, I'm trying to head down that route where it's, for a Bubble developer, it's going to make perfect sense the way it's built and save loads of time. But for someone who's a beginner to Bubble, they can potentially pick it up and understand like exactly how it works and have some kind of areas which are easier. Like, stuff is not just hard coded everywhere, which is what you find with a lot of Bubble apps. If you build it yourself, you tend to like hard code everything, or like just put it into the workflow actions and stuff like that, which is, you know, not necessarily the best way to do it. So hopefully it is going to be useful to people. I've just got to figure out a way of like conveying that message, and I spent ages on the landing page and everything, but yeah, we'll see. Still early days anyway.
Yeah, no, it'll be exciting to follow that. And yeah, speaking of landing pages, I think that I don't know if you've seen the Minimum Studio landing page that they redid their marketing site recently in Bubble, and I think that's an amazing example of
really
you being able to build really, really, really like pretty interactive like marketing pages in Bubble. So that's definitely worth checking out, because that's kind of kicked me into action to redoing some of my own kind of marketing pages to try and kind of you know, get to that level. But it just shows you, yeah, you don't always have to look at you know, design first tools, maybe like Framer. You can do some quite cool stuff with Bubble now, so it is yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm just going to check it out. But yeah, I mean, the more people that do this, the better, because it's been so long that everyone's been saying Bubble is not good for design. And then they're like, okay, show me a page that's designed in Bubble that looks good. And you're like, right, okay, yeah, I can't actually think of that many, but it's definitely possible.
Definitely.
But yeah, so I'm very up for people doing nice looking stuff in Bubble. I'm just looking at it now. Wow, okay, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
This is good. Yeah.
And I guess in other news, bits that we've been working on. So obviously in the background, we've been working super hard on our No-Code UK conference. You might have seen on Twitter on the No-Code UK handle. We've been announcing tons of speakers. Got some amazing people. We've got some even more exciting announcements coming up, particularly on the venue. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit next week, but we're really, really excited about that. So yeah, definitely advise, if you are interested in coming along to that on the 21st of May, so Tuesday, just check out the nocodeuk.org site, because we've got some big announcements coming on that shortly. So really, really excited about that.
Yeah, I know it probably seems to people like that not enough information has been announced about that, but it is all bubbling away in the background. Well, not in Bubble, but it is all getting done in the background, and we will be announcing, yeah, a lot of exciting things soon. Everything will become very clear, hopefully in the next week or so.
Definitely. Yeah, that's been super exciting to work on that. So really excited to talk more about that next week.
Yeah, it's going to be just so good to meet all these people again in real life, and maybe some new people too. Last time we did a podcast, you were talking about your project to build a new SaaS to $1,000 MRR, I think, within 6 weeks or 8 weeks.
Yes.
Now, I get the sense that you haven't had much time to work on that, so perhaps you've had to rethink your plan somewhat, but I'm definitely keen for an update and to hear, yeah, how far you've got with that.
Yeah, I think last time we spoke, I was just kind of finishing building the app. So it was going to be another Shopify app. It is pretty much ready to go. Obviously with Shopify, there's the, I guess, extended kind of part that you have to get the app approved and launched, which kind of affected my timelines a bit. I've kind of also been focusing a bit more on user loop. I had a ton of stuff come up, so that kind of required a bit more of my attention, but I am going to be picking the challenge up again soon. So the clock was effectively stopped about 2 weeks, So with the app being built, so I'm going to pick that up again. But yeah, there's been some really exciting progress with User Loop. So yeah, major product changes. I think we spoke a while ago about a ton of stuff that had to change because of Shopify's new way of doing things. So that was all done and launched. That was with kind of working with developers for some of that. And there's also been a ton of work on redoing all the analytics in the product, with a big kind of chunk of it now being done with OpenAI, which I was really, really excited about. So, you know, I think the easiest way to explain it is if you get kind of thousands of open-ended survey responses from customers, reading through those was, you know, it's quite tedious and next to impossible if you're getting 1,000 a day. So the new analytics effectively, it's all done in Bubble, but it effectively reads through all those responses and then categorizes them into topics. And then for each topic, it also works out how much do those customers spend on average, what's the total sales linked to those customers. So actually really, really cool stuff, and all done through the kind of back end on Bubble. And I found some new techniques to make that possible that are really, really cool. So I'm planning to write a bit more about those, about how to kind of do that more complex stuff with OpenAI in Bubble on the back end in future. So that's coming up. Another big feature that's been mega, mega requested and has just been on my list for ages was to add the ability to translate all of your surveys into like 50 languages, and then serve up the right language for the customer in the checkout and by email and everything. And that is all done. Going to be launching that tomorrow, probably. Again, that's all using OpenAI, so it goes and translates everything. The text on the buttons, the questions, the answers, the email copy, it will translate it into all those languages, and then serve it up in the right language. But that's definitely something that I've had kind of requested a lot from pro customers. So really excited to launch that. And I've also been experimenting with Anthropic and Claude, which is, you know, in benchmarks. I don't know if anyone's seen on Twitter, but it's particularly for kind of large prompts. It's performing very well and even outperforming GPT-4. So I've been experimenting with that as well. And putting that into the product, so I may write a bit about that. And I am doing a workshop on the Dev Day later this week for Bubblers, arranged by Sarah. And in that I'm going to be talking about using Postmark, so sending transactional emails, how to do that, and then also how to do it with Resend, which is a new email API, which I've been testing out, which is awesome for doing bulk sends. So if you want to send 1,000 emails, for example, this is a really, really cool way of doing it. And how to manage using HTML templates in Bubble, because that's something that I've kind of experimented with, either using like a templating engine or there's other kind of techniques. So we'll be kind of covering a bit of that as well. And obviously I've been working on couple of exciting freelance projects as well, so that's kind of been keeping me busy. But it was super exciting yesterday. I noticed on the calendar was the 1 year anniversary of me working full-time on the User Loop, which was really exciting. So I kind of survived the first year, and yeah, still really enjoying it, and lots more to do. But I've just loved the balance of, you know, building the User Loop app, doing freelance stuff, our events, like all this no-code content, like the podcast that we do. So that's been really, really fun. So first year kind of gone quite well, but got to double down for the next year.
Yeah, congratulations on, you know, passing your first year. Like, I'm sure other people in other situations might have just sacked it in by now and gone back to getting a job, but you managed to last for a whole year, and things are only heading in the right direction for you, I think. Regarding the new like translation feature, are you going to increase the prices for your pro users? Because that to me sounds like a massive feature. Maybe it wasn't too hard to build using OpenAI, but from an end user point of view, to go from just having English to having any language they want, I would expect to pay more for that. So I'm wondering, are you going to have it as like just add an additional like bolt-on price or something for that feature?
So it's only going to be on the pro plans. So yeah, we're looking at kind of $100 a month upwards. And I did decide, I was kind of thinking about, should I limit the number of translations and stuff, but I haven't fully landed on that yet. But I think the logic is that any Shopify store that's selling in five languages, you know, they're probably quite a large store, so they should be on that larger plan. But technically, it was actually pretty complicated to do because I think the actual translation itself is fairly straightforward. You know, translating each string in OpenAI, that's not too bad. You've got to write the right prompts for that, obviously, and kind of test it thoroughly. But I think the part that was more complex was actually how to store the translations in the database and how to key them to the original thing. And then through, obviously, like through my, like the API that I have in Bubble, when I serve a survey into Shopify to serve it in the right language. So if Shopify requests a survey in Spanish, then to serve all those translation strings for Spanish into Shopify. And again, if someone lands on one of my survey pages and their browser is set to Spanish, that we show the language. So that bit was all actually pretty complicated. And I think it might be something that's actually worthy of discussion in the future, because I actually read up quite a bit on best practice of how to store translations in a database and how to relate the keys to the original thing. So I did all of that in Bubble, but it was done in the same way that a coded app would have done it, as to the best of my knowledge. Anyway, I kind of spent quite a lot of time planning that, because it's kind of one of those things that could be quite tricky to unravel later if you did it wrong. Storing, you know, you're going to be storing thousands of strings, basically, of translations. So yeah, it's kind of a combination of using option sets and a new table and linking each translation to its original string. So yeah, it got pretty funky. But yeah, I'm really excited about it, because it's one of these things that people have kept asking for. And it was a big job to do it. So it was kind of, it was on the list, but I finally got to it. So super excited about that. So yeah, I think that might definitely help with getting people to upgrade through the plans, from free or the lower plans up onto the pro plans. So yeah, super excited.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I don't think anyone would suggest that not focusing on your core product is like the most sensible thing to do. So absolutely, I think you're right to put a pause on any other projects you're doing while you have to get these big features out, because this is the one that pays your bills.
Definitely, yeah. And I mean, the other thing that I guess may not have come up on Twitter or anything that much was I started making kind of video content more for the e-commerce market and for my target customers. So like how to run surveys and all this kind of stuff, and putting it on YouTube. So yeah, that's kind of taken up a bit of time as well, as trying to get into doing more of this content aimed at the target market. Of the app. But yeah, performing really well. Like, it's definitely helping on the Google rankings as well. I've been talking to Chad Sikonchik as well about using his new plugin for Bubble SEO, or like to make your blog pages static. So I'm hoping to be trying that out soon, because obviously my blog is all on Bubble, and even though we are ranking pretty well, the pages are terribly slow, as they often are in Bubble. They're just not fast enough. So I've seen some of the stats on what Chad managed to do with his own blog, and it looked really, really impressive, like pretty much overnight improvement in Google Search Console. So I'm excited to try that and kind of report.
Is that using CoAlias as well?
No, I don't think it is. No, it's a different technique. But yeah, I've definitely checked out CoAlias as well for another reason in my app, like to let people do custom domains. But yeah, not. I think this is using a different technique. So yeah, excited to try that, because we're definitely getting more and more signups from SEO. It's like the second biggest channel for that acquisition. So yeah, hoping to make big improvements there.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then Yeah, marketing on autopilot pretty much. Because you must have got quite a lot of content by now.
Yeah, there is tons and tons of content. Yeah, so but it's that's a never-ending thing. So like every week we're writing new ones, updating old posts. Yeah, so that's kind of a whole thing in its own right. But yeah, I don't know if we showcase the content in its best light at the moment because of the page speed, just on those pages. But like I say, we are still ranking, so it's not the end of the world. But I do feel like we could take it to another level with these, pre-cached pages. So yeah, super excited to try that. And a ton more work on the marketing side too to talk about some of these AI features that are in the product now. Because every customer is using them. Obviously, we've spoken before about watching session replays and analytics and stuff, and all these AI features now are like they're used daily. So it's they're a really important part of it. So yeah, kind of want to talk about those a bit more because I don't think they're kind of showcased enough on the marketing site and in the demos and stuff yet. But yeah, that will all be coming over the next week or two.
Just, yeah, so exciting. You just always seem to be just on the ball with everything, and I'm always feel like I'm just floundering, doing nothing. That makes me want to revive my AI powered form builder idea, but yeah, who knows?
It's so exciting the stuff you can do with AI and Bubble now. It's like that's kind of what made me want to do that earlier challenge. Because I was like, it's a kid in a candy store type thing. It's like, oh God, I want to build all these things. But yeah, on the other hand, I've got to try and keep the discipline to focus on the main app kind of thing. But yeah, there is so much stuff, cool stuff you can do with it, especially with these larger context windows now. Like really, really crazy stuff you can do. So yeah, I think it's. I think maybe now that you've finished your. The template that could be an exciting time to experiment with some SaaS again.
Yeah, absolutely. That is my plan. Just trying to decide which one to do first. But yeah, I've got loads of ideas, and I'm definitely going to start them all with the boilerplate. And so hopefully it will just be about building the core functionality, and I'll be able to ship them quickly. But I don't want to fall into the age old trap of just shipping loads of stuff and then not doing any marketing. So I've got to make sure I actually give each one a bit of time and enough effort. And then, potentially I could sell them if I think they're not going anywhere. And at least I'll be able to say, they've got all the features and they're well-built products, and potentially people will be interested. But yeah, I'm very excited to start actually building some SaaS, because it's been too long. It's been a few months already that I haven't had a SaaS to work on.
Yeah, it's definitely addictive. So that'll be excited to follow along with that and to talk about the whole decision-making process of what to build and all of this, because I think a lot of people, I know I've certainly been guilty of that before, of just kind of getting a bit stuck in, oh, what do I build? And then ending up kind of, you kind of get a bit lost. So that it's, I think a lot of people get into that position. So we should definitely kind of talk that through more and how we kind of have settled on these ideas and stuff. I think that's definitely an interesting topic.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Well, I think we're coming up to half an hour here. We just wanted to do this kind of as a quick update episode before next week we come back with a bit more about the event and a special guest to talk a little bit more about what has been happening there. But yeah, believe me, we've been working extremely hard, meeting up in person in London and talking with tons of speakers. It's all really, really exciting. So yeah, we're looking forward to sharing a bit more about that next week. But yeah, I think that's it for this week, unless there's anything else, Kieran.
No, all good.
Awesome. Right, well, thanks for listening. And any questions or feedback, drop us a line. You can find the link in the comments or the description under the video. But yeah, that's it for this week. So we'll see you soon.
Thanks, everyone.